All right, stick around to the very end of the podcast. After you hear us do the closing jingle, then we have an interview with one of our favorite human beings on planet Earth. He's an Army Ranger, a country star, and a super, super mega cool dad. Craig Morgan joins us after the podcast. Stick around for that because it's definitely worth it.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Podcasting.
Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Caution, terrain. Caution, terrain, terrain. Pull up, pull up, pull up.
That's the best Big D's plane. You're too low. You're just flying too low. What a great week as the CMA Awards were just astounding. We got to hang out with so many awesome people. I guess we'll kind of review a lot of that. But before we dive into that, I do want to say that the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Whatever it is that you're needing, they have the parts. You get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
They have a lot of things that other guys don't have.
Yeah.
I've found.
Well, I mean, ow. I just cracked my back, and it was like it scared me. You ever do that?
No. You're like a puppy. Like you hiccup and it scares you.
Like, I was like, oh, like I wasn't expecting that. It was like, I was like, ow, no, that didn't hurt. Okay, we're good.
Am I all right? Are you okay?
Yeah, man. You have to check yourself. You get my advanced age.
Yeah, you're so old.
Yeah. So thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. And going back to the CMA Awards, it was great seeing everybody. We have so many friends that we've made in the country music industry over the years. I mean, like Billy Currington stopped by. I haven't seen Billy Currington in 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
It's been a while, man.
And he stopped by and he was like just as excited to see us. He's like, man, I feel like this is a family reunion. So it was cool seeing like Billy and, you know, everybody was there, you know, new faces, old faces, Luke Combs and everybody from Justin Moore, Justin with his new beard. I like the beard on him. He does kind of look like a leprechaun, but it looks good on. Did you see the picture, Patrick?
No, I didn't
see it. Oh, yeah. If you go to our Facebook, you can see the pictures of all of our people.
But I didn't see him last night. Oh, God, I'm struggling. This is the time of day now where I was fine. We were on the air. It was exciting. I felt good. And now I'm like, oh.
How late did you stay out?
2:30 in the morning. Something like that.
Wow.
It's just so, and it was hard to leave because it's just so much going on. It's so exciting, you know?
Was the party still just getting going at 2:30?
The last party we went to was still hopping.
Was
got
that the
there.
Garth one? Which
no,
one?
The last one we went to would have been the one Justin Moore was at. It was the Big Machine record label group party. And we got there and it was still hopping, but my feet hurt so bad. I was wearing these dress shoes that I never wear. And I've never noticed that they hurt my feet, but suddenly last night it was like maybe I got fatter. I don't know, but they were really hurting. I just couldn't hang anymore.
What was the best party?
Well, Carson would tell you it was the Garth party because Garth was there, and he did win Entertainer of the Year. So that's, you know,
and he was riled up as we heard from her audio clip where she kind of filmed whenever he came in. He was feisty.
So there's lots of parties all over Nashville. All of the talent agencies have a party. Some of the management companies that have different clients that are artists have a party. And most of the record labels have a big party. Those are usually the ones we go to because that's who we deal with. So we know those people. Universal Music, which would be Luke Bryan, Carrie Underwood, Keith Urban, Eric Church, Casey Musgraves, all of those guys. Their party is great because the food is great, and it's my favorite. Every year it's totally different. They have like stations set up throughout the party with different foods. So this year they had a lady.
One caterer, or they have multiple different caterers to give you different foods?
They had some people doing mini corn dogs and fried Oreos at one station.
I'm like, down for that fair food.
Ice cream. They had cobbler. Oh, the cobbler. That was so amazing.
Was it? Did they have ice cream with the cobbler?
Vanilla ice cream with the cobbler. Oh, okay. And vanilla ice cream was like that vanilla bean ice cream. Like, it's real fancy.
Yeah.
They had these little mini pizzas. I don't know, but it tasted like the pizza my grandmother used to make when I was a kid. It was so good. It was so good. They had a guy making tacos, like,
just listen
fresh
to his voice. Listen to how he's...
You see how excited I get about it?
Your voice is Katie's face, which we'll get to later.
Okay, so we're sitting there. The awards are about to start, and Vivica goes, "Aren't we going to eat dinner?" I'm like, "No, I'm not eating dinner. I'm saving it. We're going to a party at 10:15, and guess what? That's where the food is. Save all the room. Eat the food at the parties." So big. Oh.
Did she eat dinner and then have
she to... She ate popcorn or something while we watched the show. So, you know, she's like, "I can't wait till 10:15 to eat." And I was like, "You don't have enough storage." That's just all that is. You know,
that's where before you go to the parties, you go to the back bathroom and evacuate all the areas that need to be filled with the free food.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's how I know I'm old and fat, because I care way more about the free food than the free drinks. Like, way more. Free food is the best.
Free food is
pretty
great.
Last year, that same party, they had like different stations from, and it was around the world. So they had like Italian food, Mexican food, Chinese food, Japanese food, you know.
So whatever you wanted, they had,
yeah, they had
a little bit
all kind of different, you know, things, and they had a donut wall, which they did not have this year, but that was the best.
Well, yeah, you told me about that, where they had like staff members. Now, this is, it's not just a wall with a bunch of donuts on it. It was a wall where they had, let's say you walk up there and you go, "Oh, I want the Homer Simpson pink donut."
That's right.
You grab it off the wall, and by the time you turn your back to walk away,
there's a lady standing there. She's got all the donuts ready to go so she can replace the one that you took.
So the
pattern
wall always
the
looks
same.
Perfect.
Yes. People were using it like one of those backdrops that you take pictures. People were just having their picture taken in front of the donut wall. Because it wasn't, you see a donut wall at a wedding, and it's like 6 by 8, 6 donuts by maybe 10 weddings.
Yeah.
No. This was like 25 up and, or 16
vertical
up and down, and 30 across. It was huge.
Wow. You could have had like a whole red carpet thing in front of the donut wall.
Donut wall.
See, I would
on
love
the
to
red
stand.
Carpet. Oh, dude, that's a great red carpet idea.
I would stand right in front of that, and I would just challenge them to keep up with me. I'd be just eating.
Eating donuts.
Yeah, man.
What you guys doing this year at the CMAs? Eating donuts.
I'm so down great for the challenge. Bring that
I'm
on.
I'm going to be. Can I say some things that I'm not supposed to say?
Absolutely. On you're on a podcast. That's what everybody does. They say the stuff that they're not supposed to say on podcasts, where it's always there for perpetuity.
So I went to the parties. I didn't go to the awards. So I'm watching on the local television channel, and I'm watching the red carpet thing beforehand. Oh, my God. It's the worst thing I've ever watched.
What do you
Why
mean?
Is it so it bad? Was just so bad. It was so bad. It's live, but they're also throwing two tapes of interviews they did just a few minutes ago, and it's all kind of frazzled, and no one seemed to know what was really going on. And it was all like, "So you're pregnant? Oh my gosh! Oh, that's great. Okay, well, have fun." Like,
so it was their Super Bowl, but they were completely unprepared for it.
It's just fast. I've never heard of these people, so I'm not afraid of hurting their feelings. It was whoever was on the station that I was watching, you know.
Was it their TV people?
No, I think it was like some kind of...
Like they got YouTubers?
I don't know if it was like a thing that they were sending to other TV stations around the country, because they kept saying, "We're live from Nashville," but I was watching it on a Nashville channel. So I don't know if it was something that somebody was doing like a...
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, small kind
of package. So were they just pretty people?
Package.
They were just pretty
just
people.
Generic pretty people.
Well, the problem is that a lot of those people who do that, they don't know the artists like we know them.
No, and then they don't know them. They clearly don't know them.
They don't know who they are in some cases.
Right, and they don't have a lot of time to establish anything. So it's like, "Oh, my gosh, so you're..." And look at the card. Maren Morris. You are so cute. You're pregnant. Oh, my gosh. And are you nominated? Yes, of course. Okay, well, have fun.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you wearing? Or who are you wearing?
Oh, it's That's not even rough. That. Like, they do that for, like, the Oscars and stuff, because people
That's
care.
Rough,
Nobody
man.
Watching the CMAs cares who you're wearing.
That's rough.
Unless you're carrying them on your back.
Rough.
It was 30
minutes. Who are you wearing? I'm wearing Justin Moore, literally. Look, he's a backpack. He's my Yoda.
Let's go.
I looked over at Vivica.
Not. There is no try.
I didn't want to laugh at that, but it was so good.
Justin Moore, wow. You're Small.
Justin is one of the best people, and he will make the jokes before us. Jokes. So
yeah, with that beard. So are you selling the Lucky Charms, or are they just giving to you?
Awesome. Someone's a feisty elf.
Purple hearts, green clovers, blue diamonds.
No, that's awful.
I remember looking over at Vivica at one point and going, "This is so horrible," but I don't want to change it. It's like watching a train wreck.
Have you ever seen the interview? It's this Japanese. She's really beautiful, cute Japanese lady,
and she just stares at him.
She stares at them. She asks a question. She says like, it's broken English. Mm-hmm. So you're already kind of like
a little off guard.
Everything's off a little bit, and so she says, "You excited for tonight?" And then she takes her microphone and she gives it to the microphone right in his face. I watched Trace Adkins. And so she's looking up at Trace Adkins holding the microphone. And he goes, "Yeah, well, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be a good night tonight." And then she doesn't move the microphone.
She just stares.
She holds the microphone and just keeps looking at him. And he goes,
"Because it's fun to, you know, get together with people."
So they're trying to fill the space.
Yeah. Well,
it's just a gag. The whole thing is a gag.
The whole thing
is a goof. And so they're filming these awkward reactions from celebrities who don't know what to do when the microphone stays there. So they
I'm looking on YouTube and I can't find it.
They just keep talking.
That's so great.
And if somebody finds this, please send this to me. Please. At Bubba Radio on Twitter,
bit.
Instagram,
I don't
whatever.
Remember who used to do that.
Yeah, if you find it, please send it because I want to see this.
It's pretty great. Yeah, I think the problem with a lot of those people is they don't know the artist. They don't know. They have no frame of reference.
They look at them and they go, "You're an influencer on Instagram. You have 480,000 followers. You look good in a dress. So you are going to be the person who interviews them."
So I guess one of the guys from The Bachelor who was The Bachelor and then the girl who won and they're still dating, I couldn't tell you. I can't even pretend. But I picked up that he was The Bachelor and she was the contestant that won and they're still together. They gave more airtime to those two because they knew who they were and gave. And I'm sitting here watching it, going, "Who is that?"
It's also
what is that?
Yeah, and it's ABC. So all ABC products get put on there. If you wonder why is so and so being a presenter, because it's ABC. Yeah. ABC is
also connected to Disney, also connected to
ESPN. So it's a one big promo push for their people. That's what it is. So when you see people, you're like, why is
I just
that
noticed
person?
That they That's actually why. Knew who those people were, as opposed to, you know, country Mary artist Morris. Walks up and they were like,
the I'm, people who were important
boy,
for the
it's
day.
It's like a baby boom going on in
That's what I said.
Country music right now.
Yeah, I mentioned that during one of the interviews.
Like, if I was Kelsey and them, I'd be just making sure I don't drink the water unless you're ready for that, because it's coming.
There are some of those artists that, you know, we don't know super well. That we're sitting down to do interviews with us, you know, we have 5 minutes or so with them, mm-hmm. and it can be difficult to try and do an interview with someone that you really don't know a whole lot about, other
right.
than here's their new song, here's the name of their album, and go. So it isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, but
now imagine doing that while everyone's dressed up and cameras are flashing and it's the red carpet
and you only
you
have 20 seconds
40 seconds
so, yeah so I mean I get it it's not easy it's not
you
easy.
Just at least have to know who they are. I think what they should do is put I mean granted I was going to say some country insiders in there, but the problem is they do that and those people aren't really camera ready. You know, they're people like us.
You mean ugly people?
Yes.
You guys aren't ugly, by the way. I'm not trying to be
camera
ready. When you say camera ready.
But we look big on camera. You know why? Because we look big in real life.
Oh, my God. We should do like the Triumph the Insult comic dog.
Instead of the red carpet, you call it the Fed carpet, and it'll be.
Welcome to the Fed carpet.
And then there's your donut wall. See?
Hey.
People come by. What kind of donuts you want, Frankie Ballard?
Who wants brisket? You want brisket? Get you some of that brisket right there, man.
Hey,
good luck. Nominated for best brisket eater in the country. Look at you.
So I see here you guys are nominated for duo of the year. You want what kind of sauce you want on your ribs?
Dan and Shay. Wow, look at you. Who's the dad?
I still, man, I was looking at homeboy looking like Jesus last night.
Yeah, that hair is
like,
crazy, man.
It went from like being shaved to he's Christ. Yeah. It's like, it's, boom, yeah, like it was magic.
It is something, man.
I still say, and I know we said it on the show, but I like that that Dan thanked Shay.
That was the coolest. I love you, brother.
That I've ever had that.
Do I have the clip? I don't know.
Yeah, it's somewhere on there if you can find it. It's in the thing. It's, you know, like we said, I don't ever remember Brooks and Dunn doing that, saying thanks for being and doing this with me.
I don't think you'll ever hear that, man.
Yeah, you'll ever hear that. At their Hall of Fame induction, I think they both thanked each other.
That's a strange relationship they have.
You know,
it's
really
contentious
were,
at times.
They were put together. People don't realize that. They didn't even tell that story until after they broke up. They never really told the story of how they got together until after they broke up. And really,
wait, you're telling me Brooks and Dunn aren't lifelong friends?
No. And after they broke up, the first time we talked to one of them, I don't remember, Kix or Ronnie, they still weren't telling it. And then, like, time passed, and all of a sudden, it was
Ronnie, because Ronnie came in a few times.
Yeah, and it was like, well, you know, that wasn't, it's not like, how'd you guys get to, Tim Dubois, the record label head, was like, hey, the Judds are retiring, and there's a whole category at the CMAs just for duos, and there's no duos. So if you guys get together, we probably win some CMA awards and make this thing a big deal. That was the entire plan, was behind the scenes. CMA used to give out an award called Vocal Duo of the Year. They still do. What that was until the 80s was literally people who did duets that year, what we would now call musical event.
Oh, right.
Okay, where Garth Brooks and Blake Shelton do a duet one time this year, and that would be the duo of the year. So it used to go to Kenny and Dottie West, Kenny and Dolly, Loretta and Conway, George and Tammy, people who were solo artists, but also duets.
Right. There was no Dan and Shay at the time.
There were no dudes. There just weren't. So when the Judds came out, they put them in the vocal group category, and then they were like, well, they're a duo. So they should be in the duo category,
and then they just
they just ran through it.
Isn't it true that Ronnie had a bunch of songs that he had done and he had written, and it just wasn't working for him as a solo artist?
Oh, well, kind of. So it wasn't working for him as a solo artist. So he left. He came to Nashville. He gave it a shot. It didn't work. So did Kix. Kix. I don't think Kix left. Kix stayed in town and tried to make it work. But Ronnie went back to Oklahoma and was resigned to the fact that this is it. He was
so he did like Garth.
He
basically was giving up.
Garth was a lot younger and his time was a lot short. You know, he left and came back. It wasn't that long. With Ronnie was in Nashville for a while. He'd already built himself up to the point that he thought he should give that a shot in his mid to late 20s. Moved back in his early 30s, and you know what? Best I'm going to be able to do is do this. Maybe I can write some songs. And he wrote some of these incredible songs by himself. And then the second time around, Tim Dubois said, I have this thing.
You said it both ways.
But people in the music industry say Dubois because they don't know how to say they don't know. It's Tim Dubois.
They can't speak French.
You
can't
say
because
Dubois.
Of French. I hear it so both ways so many times. So he just kind of put them together and said, write a song, see what happens. And the first thing they did was write Brand New Man. Because Kix had the line in his head of, I saw the light, I'm born to love again. Because, he met a new woman. And he was like, yeah, I'm a brand new man. And they wrote that song and played it for the head of the record label. And he went, yeah, you guys have to do this. This is the thing. If you want to get together and be a duo, I'll give you a record deal. And we'll win a bunch of CMA awards. And he was right, and they did. They won 14.
I was saying
out of
this morning
years.
That I think with Dan and Shay winning, it's one of the few times that Brooks and Dunn didn't win.
When they were nominated.
Yeah, when
the
they were nominated.
The last time was 2010, Sugarland won. They beat Brooks and Dunn. So almost.
But that was coming after Stay and all that. So Sugarland was on a
Sugarland
real
won
massive
like
high.
Like five
there.
In a row, too, when they got hot. So
Well, plus once they got rid of the third. Wheel.
Yeah.
Oh,
true.
God. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they used to be a duo.
They were a trio back then.
Oh,
they were more like Lady Antebellum than
like
Sugar
Land.
What
was her name?
It was also Kristen. They had
Kristen
and Christian.
Yep.
And then. Yeah. And then.
And Kristen like wanted to go back and be a songwriter, I think is the story they told. We don't know.
I don't believe that's something iHeart used to tell us back in the day. Really?
Look, here's your story.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that crap.
Yeah. I honestly think they saw there was more
hay to make as a duo. Look, guys,
I'll
Brooks
tell you something else.
About to retire.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe right. I was about to just jump into it. I won't.
Yeah. But just to finish one thought, you asked about the songs. There are, I think, three or four songs on the second Brooks and Dunn album and several on the third Brooks and Dunn album that were songs that Ronnie brought with him before they even started, that he had already written. They were so good, they didn't want to put them all on one record. So, like, She Used to Be Mine and Ain't No Way to Go were written, I'm almost sure, those are two of them.
Well before.
Before the first Brooks and Dunn album ever came out. And those made, he had to save them. You couldn't, especially back in the day, you didn't want to put more than three or four really great songs on a record because those are the only ones that are going to be released to radio.
I would love to know the real story of why they broke up. I mean, I know there was some drama between the two of them.
There was no real
drama. Something happened because I remember one day we had Ronnie in the studio and we asked him point blank, we said, is there ever going to be a Brooks and Dunn reunion?
And he said no.
And he went, I said, before I could get the word reunion out of it, nope. I mean, he
answered
so fast. He goes, yeah. "No way, never."
It was something. There was something.
Something went down.
Yeah. I don't think anything went down that caused the breakup. I think some things may have been said or implied after the breakup, where it kind of got a little weird.
It kind of seemed like it was fine. It was kind of hush hush, and everyone's playing nice. And then they weren't.
They were going to break up in the early 2000s when. They were on Arista, which was owned by RCA, and it merged with another record label, and the guy from the other record label became the head of it. And his name's Joe Galani. He's like a famous Nashville, you know, record executive.
I still don't know what company he worked for.
He worked for Sony. RCA, and once RCA and Arista merged, he was in charge. So
that was always your joke.
Yeah, that was my joke.
Bubba won't remember it, so it'll be fine. But... he went to them, and they were like, I think we're kind of done. And he was like, please, just make one record. Let me make one record with you guys before you call it a day. Because I've always wanted to make a Brooks and Dunn record with you, you know. So they made one more, and it was Ain't Nothing About You, Only in America, you know, all these massive hits, and then they were back.
Only in America. what is it?
Thank you.
Remember we all get to dance.
We remember the line, we're like, I don't like that.
Everybody gets to dance.
That was your line. That's what y'all came up with.
Nah.
I mean,
everybody can dance in.
And
every
remember,
country.
And Ronnie was like, "Well, it's like you know, like Leanne Womack, you know, dance that kind of dance." We're like,
"Yeah, like a figurative, like not an actual."
That was after the fact. No. We're trying to figure it out.
No, it wasn't. You guys lazied that one.
You know,
in.
They went through that period where they didn't write songs together. They started out, they got together because they wrote songs together, and then they didn't for like 8 years, and then they wrote Red Dirt Road together. And again, now it was a big smash. But I think at some point they both thought, well, we don't have to do this forever.
Then
they couldn't stop doing it because it was too successful.
Then Kix went off and he started doing radio, he does the countdown, all that kind of stuff. I went over to the studio one time.
Our studio's cool. His studio's not really even a studio. It looks like his den.
It looks like a rich dude's library with the
leather,
the leather that when your fingernail hits it, it makes a mark. Those kind of leather, you know, the real thick kind.
Yeah.
That's almost like saddle leather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked like he had a King Ranch package. In his house, like he went to Rooms to Go and said, "I'll take the King Ranch package." Everything was cow print. Mm-hmm. There were the pillows had I don't think it was real cow hide, but like it had like the hide, you know, where it has like the fur or whatever on it. It was that kind of stuff, and it was cool, expensive lights and chandelier kind of things, and he would just sit in a chair
in a big leather chair.
And had a microphone that came across
and a little thing for his script on it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, like a musician. And then his guest, if he had a guest, would go in there and sit down and talk to him. And then he would just talk. And there is in another room someone doing all the work, like all the mixing and all that kind of stuff. And then a lot of times, like, I would listen and he would be like, hey, this week we've got, you know, whoever on the show. You know, Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. And then, well, you know, he didn't really have Garth Brooks on the show. I mean, he had a recording of Garth Brooks. A lot of those guys, yeah. You ever
What do you mean? But I mean,
like, they'll do like
people
they'll go
tape
like,
interviews, but he wasn't even the one doing it?
No, they do it like this. I hate this. Hey, recently we talked to Garth Brooks about what it's like growing up in Oklahoma. And then you go to him, and
they
it's
play
like
a sound clip.
Yeah, and you can hear that he's in a different environment. It's like it's a.
You guys want to know how they do that?
I mean, I know how they do it.
Well, you do, but I'm talking about the people. Yeah. I actually know the guy who does that. There's a guy. He has a guy full time who goes out to all of these.
Is that the guy we had in one time?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No, but the guy you're talking about, you did that for Bob Kingsley. It was the same thing. Countdown, Bob Kingsley and my buddy Rob would go and do the interviews, but you'd never hear Rob's voice. You'd only hear the answers to the questions he asked.
Right.
And then Bob Kingsley would throw it to, well, recently our, you know, we
talked. I mean, it's so awkward. Like,
we talked to so-and-so.
Like, when we do our interviews, they're here. Yeah. And like, I would be like, hey, man, what's going on? What are you wearing today? What is that? Well, this is a Snoopy jacket or whatever.
It's always one question, and then they just play the answer, and then later on they play another answer.
It's cheap to me.
There's a lot of the artists do a lot of press conferences and what in Nashville they call round robins. You guys have never been to one of these, or you haven't since.
Dude, I want to go to one.
It's very. Carson will go sometimes to get.
We went to one time for a Keith Urban thing, and it was,
you did?
It was
stupid.
It was a waste of our time because
Keith always does round robins. I've even been to a Keith Urban round robin.
We went to the thing. We're the only ones in the room.
Yeah,
we went to some like business. Like we thought we were going to. We thought we were going to the studio. We went to like a business park, and go up to the elevator and walk out, and they're like, "I'm like, we really didn't know what we're doing. We thought we were going to listen to his new album,
mm-hmm.
And so we thought
we were invited by Keith to go listen.
In our minds, we were going to go sit in the studio while with Keith, and the guy would hit play, and it would play over the speakers, and we would sit there and go, man, this is great. Oh, that one's great, too. And they're all great.
I know what Bubba's talking about in the studio. That's not a round robin. Round robin is when there are 10 of you
sitting around
a table.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes.
And so we went in there, and she they take us into a conference room.
Yeah.
And we sit down. It's just the two of us, and they're real weird. They're like,
because it's secret.
Yes.
They can't send you the record. They bring you in.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay. And so everyone was very odd and secretive and hushy. And we sit down, and Bob and I kind of look at each other like,
what are we doing?
What are we doing? And then they walk in.
Listen to the new music.
Remember they had a papers, that track listing of the songs.
Yeah. And then all the information about each song.
Yeah, who the writer was.
Yeah, no lyrics. It was just who the writer was, who produced it, who co-wrote, who co-produced, who this, who that. And it was like stuff we didn't care about. Look, here's the thing. We either like a song or we don't. And I know, and this is going to sound like a slight, as a fan, I don't care who produces it. And I know I'm saying that.
No one does.
I care about what goes into my ears, and I go, God, this is amazing.
Like.
Yeah, my experience and the song and all that. That's what I care about. These things were like way too much overdrive and too much overload of stuff we didn't care about at the time.
Yeah,
so I just want to go, do I love it or not?
Yeah. And so they would, like, girl walks in and she has a CD. That's not printed. It's just like a blank.
Oh, it was
CD.
A Walkman. Remember? This is like, it was a single Walkman, and she plugged it into the thing.
Yeah, and it played.
Yeah, she actually didn't. She had showed us the CD and then closed the lid and goes, little, okay.
That's right. And we sat there, and it gets, and then they leave. They leave the room. And then about, I don't know, 2 minutes into it, I go, look at Bob, and I go, are we going to listen to this entire thing?
We're here for an hour.
We listened to that whole thing, and about three songs into it, like we would start it and go, that's good. Boop. Next one, four. Okay, that's good. I'm sure they were like, how do you guys finish so fast? We know exactly how long it takes. Yeah. So, and then I don't even think Keith was there, if I recall.
I don't remember him being there at all. Yeah.
And then we walked out, and we were like, well, we'll never do that again.
I had it. Now they bring in like a, it's not even a phone. It's like a, it's a device, like an old iPad or an old iPod that's got the music on it. And then they come in and they play it for you, but it doesn't have Wi-Fi or anything, so no one can try to hack it or steal it. So they want to play new music for you.
And, when What's-His-Face came in there and played the new Dan and Shay song, and bless his heart, I like him.
You like Dan and Shay, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, it was so awkward.
Like, I'm going to sit here and watch you guys listen to this for the first time.
Oh, and he was like, he was so excited because he's like, you're not going to believe who Dan and Shay are duetting with. It's you're not gonna be able to, man.
It just we're the wrong ones to do that with.
Yes.
And then he brings it.
Yes, you
and,
are.
And he's like, okay, we're not recording or anything, right?
No. What? Like, why would we? What
first
are we,
off,
okay, seriously.
I'm like, no. He's like, okay, I was gonna make sure, man.
Are you positive? Are you positive?
Okay, we're all good, right? Phones are down. Oh, by then I didn't really want to hear it.
See, and I liked it. I mean, first time I heard it,
it was just
great.
It's just the secretive hyping it up for what?
We're with the Defense Department, we want to play this new song.
It's a song. I mean, it's a song, and I know there's lots of money involved and that kind of stuff. But
we're not going to steal your songs.
What are we going to do with that? Play it, and okay, so what? If someone plays it, okay, and
yeah,
what's the worst? People hear it?
But also at the same time, we're also not idiots. We're not going to lose our business and our reputation to steal one song and play it first. I mean, what? We have nothing to gain for doing that.
I see the...
I do like hearing the stuff first, though. I like hearing, like when they send us the advanced copies of the albums, I love that. Because then when they come in for the interview... You kind of feel like you've lived with it for a little bit.
Yeah, you know it. Yeah.
And we can talk. If we feel like talking about the music, we can do it. Or if we feel like talking about the artist and their life, whatever the big thing is going on, we can do that.
And you know, the thing is...
Options.
You know, you'll hear in the interview that we're about to play with Craig Morgan, the connections that we have with artists, they become friends, and it comes through in the interview. So we want to play that for you. This is really... Parts of this are kind of hard to listen to. It's pretty emotional. He gets emotional. We kind of get emotional. But we don't play that for you now. Craig Morgan joining us in the studio. Thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts for being our sponsor of the podcast today. We love those folks.
That's right. And thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs because they are the place where you get the better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
You can listen to the regular show. There's Craig's coming up.
On the radio.
Maybe we should play this at the
every day. It was the podcast.
Craig Morgan is in the studio with us. So it was good to see Craig. We just spent the last 45 minutes off the air talking. Seems like
we went through his photo album on his phone. Like we were talking all about the cabin in Alaska and living off the grid. And,
you gotta go to his place in Alaska.
That's not my kind of thing,
dude.
Like,
I would
love
how long?
That.
How long, Craig, would Patrick last at your place in Alaska on his own
with no provisions there when he showed up?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the cabin itself is really secure, and it's, you know, it's got a wood. As long as he can start a fire in the wood stove, he would be fine.
Do I have a cigarette lighter or something?
Yeah, I have lighters. I don't make you do it with stick and string.
Okay, yeah, I can't do that.
Hey, but if you want to, next year, my son in particular is going to be running it more than I am. We're doing the Morgan Farms Alaska Adventure. So you can come out and spend 5 days, but you don't get to stay in my cabin. You stay in a wall tent, and you learn how to, you know, start fires with everything from stick and string to flint, you know, and build shelters and all those kind of things.
That would be awesome.
That's right at Bubba's Island.
Like, I mean, no thanks to me. And no. I think that's great that people know how to do that, but that does not sound like fun to me.
No. How does that not sound like fun?
Because it just doesn't. Man, no.
It's really fun. You know,
I know what's fun.
Every night it ends with a campfire Q&A where you hang out by the fire and talk and stuff. And this is during the summer, so it's a lot warmer. You know, it's like, it's like 50, 60 degrees.
So this
degrees
is going to be going through your store? Is that how it's going to go?
Get through that business, yeah.
Okay. And when is that going to go live? Like, when can people get excited about it?
I think we launched the website and all of that stuff like March or April.
Okay. So, you know, just hit us up before you do all that, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, why don't you come up? Why don't you guys come up?
Yeah, why don't we?
Beforehand.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah,
come up for 5 days and hang out. I'll have no one else there. You guys come up and go through the whole program, and I'll go do it with you.
I can't do 5 days of that. Five days
without what? What do you think you can't do without?
I would be, so I watch like Alone and I watch all these shows and I'm like, I want to test myself, man.
Well, this is nothing like that. This is a lot better than that.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you do? What would we do for 5 days in the middle of nowhere?
Fish,
Alaska?
The biggest hunt, yeah, you fish, learn how to make shelter.
Yeah, you build shelters.
Learn to forage.
Learn how to start fires with stick and string and flint and what gear, what equipment you need for that.
So it's a prepper course, basically.
Not really. I mean, it's a survival, more survival than prepper. You learn, learn what stuff you can get to start a fire with. You know, there's some stuff out there that just might not ever help you.
Have you ever been out and on your own or whatever and had to eat a raw animal?
I've never had to. When I was in Panama in 1989.
I never had to, but I did it for fun.
Well, I kind of had to.
I got banded.
We were on an operation where we were pushing rebels south, and we came into this encampment, and they had this thing, and we had to – I said I'm not going to do it, and the individual that was with us that was from another organization said, hey, look, we need to do this because we need information from these people, so it's like disrespectful if we don't. So we did it. So we had this little tiny spoon of monkey brains.
Like in Indiana Jones.
I don't know.
Like in Faces of Death.
They did that too?
It was the grossest thing ever. It tasted like a bloody sponge. Yeah.
So was the monkey like on the table? Like
not alive still,
no,
was it?
No, just the head.
Just the head.
Just the little head.
And the skull is
cracked
open?
And they'd already cut it open and everything. It's like, this is terrible. It's like a little bowl, you know, with eyes.
Like in Indiana Jones. I think it was number 2 when they were like the Temple of Doom or whatever it was.
So how much? Okay, so.
And they had these little tiny wooden spoons, and each person took a little tiny wooden spoon. And
would eat. How much would you get in each little spoon?
Enough. I like it as little as possible.
That's the best. Did anybody dry heave?
Oh no! I mean, everybody just sucked it up, you know, and
just manned up and ate it, and acted like it was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Did you get the information you needed?
Yeah, they did.
Of course they did.
Because you know what? After y'all left, they went. The monkey brain, you believe that?
I think it was the pulling their fingernails off. And no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Wow,
I'm just kidding. It's a horrible joke.
None of that ever happened.
They don't
stopped
do
until
that.
The end of movies.
No,
it's only in the movies. That's
they
right.
ate the monkey brains, which they didn't even really do because that's only in the movies too.
That's right. We didn't really do that.
But they had lean cuisine and called it a day.
That's right. In the middle of the jungle, in the you know, between Costa Rica and Panama.
Paula Deen was out there with a stick of butter.
Y'all! Give me information!
That's the best. I think the best part is we're pushing the rebels to the south or whatever he said. I was like, you're like a Star Wars character. All right, Craig Morgan's with us. We'll come back, talk more with him next. Hang on. Craig Morgan in the studio, chilling and hanging out. And I wanted to talk about the new song, man. The Father, My Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, the first time we heard it, we were all like, wow.
It was the day that it came out, and I remember Blake tweeted out something like, hey, all radio people, you know, don't play my song. Instead, play Craig Morgan's. And we'd already played it by the time we saw the tweet. We'd already done it. So then everybody was like, hey, yeah, thanks for doing that and not playing Blake. And we're like, well, we still played them both. but it was, man, the first time I heard it, I don't think there was a dry eye in this room. I really don't. And then the 15th time I heard it, it's still hard to keep a dry eye. It doesn't get easier to listen to because we know you. We've known you a long time. And you laid yourself out there, I think, like no one else has ever done before in country music. You showed every bit of the vulnerability, the line about being broken and all. It's like, holy crud, man.
Well, I want to say, too, I want everybody to know, you guys texted me, too, and I didn't reply. I was actually in Alaska.
Of course you were.
My wife and I were up there, so I had no idea all of this was going on until I got back into some service. And literally it was just like I never had so many messages and stuff. In particular management and Jerry, my tour manager, and Blake had called me and was texting me and you guys, and you know, a lot of my friends, and it was like, holy cow, it's just insane what has happened.
Well, you also see,
and it was difficult. You talk about how difficult it is to listen to. It's really hard for me to still to this day. Like, even now, I got this pain in my chest. My heart hurts to have these conversations.
I can see your face change. When we started talking about it, your face changed.
You know,
because it's real.
It is real. It's, I mean, this is as real as it's ever been for me, ever, in my life, my career in particular involving music. I mean, this is a song, I didn't really want to write this. This was a God thing. I tell everybody that. He woke me up and through me, wrote this song.
Really?
So, oh, yeah.
Take us there. You were...
It was like 3:30 in the morning one morning. I woke up and I was literally singing the chorus kind of in my head, in my sleep, you know, going through it. And I think it was, you know, a combination of a lot of stuff, you know, my faith, where I was at in my faith walk, my wife and I. For me, it was really a lot about my wife because, you know, as a parent that's lost a child, it's so difficult to experience to experience happiness or joy, you know. So every time my wife would kiss me or I'd kiss her, she'd cry. And it was difficult. That was hard because, you know, because our relationship is really very solid and it's good. But that joy that you get from your partner, that happiness that you experience as a parent who's lost a child, you kind of feel guilt, like you shouldn't be happy. So it was really difficult. It was tough. So I think it was a combination of all that stuff, you know, and I woke up and had that chorus, and I thought, I'll just write this down, and I'll remember it tomorrow, and I'll write it. But I've done that in the past and went, what does love, butt, sweat, smell mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So you don't know what it means. So I said, I don't want to forget this. I feel like for some reason I really felt pushed to go right then and write that song. Like I've never felt it.
Like you knew, I'm not going back to sleep. Yeah. I'm going to finish this
That's
tonight.
Right. So I went downstairs, and I got a guitar, and I started kind of strumming through the melody that I had in my head, and 4 hours later, I mean, and when I say I cried, I mean like ugly baby cried, you know, the whole time for 4 hours while I wrote that song. And when I finished it, it is exactly the way that you hear it today.
There's no changes lyrically at all.
No melody, no nothing.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I actually got to see you debut it on the Opry before the song was available, before it came out. I've been in that room and seen some magical stuff. I've never seen the audience just shocked. They were so moved by it, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
they didn't know how to react.
That experience is why that song is on radio today. I'm going to tell you that. I give obviously God did all of this. I mean, because there's no way. There's not a management company or a record label or an artist in the world that's smart enough to do all of this stuff and put all this stuff together. You know what I mean? Even all of the greatest in the world could never have accomplished what has been accomplished with this song. But when I walked off the stage after finishing, and I barely got through it, and that was only the second time I'd ever performed it in public, Ricky Skaggs was standing there, and I give him a lot of credit because Ricky said, that's the greatest song, and maybe one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. And I said, well, Ricky, I'm glad you got to hear it because I will never do it again. And he put his hands on my shoulders. He put his hands on my shoulders, and he looked at me dead in my face, and he got real close, like awkward close. And he said, you have to sing this song.
Yeah.
You have to. You have no choice.
Yep.
And I thought, golly. You know. Yeah. And so I literally walked in the dressing room and cried. And I was like, man, you know. It was the same experience I had when I woke up. I had that same feeling. And I thought, man, I do not want to be this guy. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have these conversations. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. Wow, threw myself man. In it. The thing that I find comfort in is every day, I'm pretty OCD, ADD and OCD. You guys know that.
You're all the acronyms.
Yeah, I've got every letter in the alphabet somewhere. But I don't like those blue dots on the messages, you know, that you get. So I have to go read them. And everybody that's listening that sent me a message, 60% of those messages start with, I know Craig Morgan will probably never, ever see or read this. I want y'all to know that I do see and I do read them. I don't respond to them all because there are so many. There are hundreds and hundreds a day of people that send me messages about what this song has done to them and meant to them, in particular those that have lost a child. And I try to respond to some, but to see what this song has done for them and their faith, it just gives me that much more confidence that this is a God thing.
Was it on Ellen, the one that's been going, or Kelly? It was on Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson, yeah.
You performed it on there, and at the end, when you started to cry, and you were struggling. Man, that I've only been able to watch that video once, and I'm about to lose it again.
I've not watched it. I can't. Yeah. Let me tell you, man. I literally, I come as close to passing out as I ever have.
On stage?
You know, on stage, yeah.
You know, Reba, she won't do If I Had Only Known. She doesn't do that song anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think because of that? And, you know, that's based on her losing her band.
Her band.
And then she got to a point where she was like, I'm not, and she doesn't play it anymore. Do you ever see, I know that you had that conversation with Ricky, but do you ever see a point where you just can't?
I mean, oh, buddy, I'm telling you right now, there's nights I don't do it. We were in Wisconsin here not too long ago, big show, big crowd, cold. That's what I remember being cold. And there was a lady literally holding the sign in the front row.
Yeah.
The Father, my Son, the Holy Ghost, had the birth date and death date of their child.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't do it. And someone, I made the assumption that it was her, sent a message, said they'd come to hear that song live, and they were sorry they didn't get to hear it. And generally, again, I never would reply to these things, but I replied to her, and I said, I'm sorry that I didn't do that song that night. But what you didn't know was my youngest son was there, and he suffered enough pain, and I didn't want him to have to hear me sing that song that night.
Wow.
And she replied back completely, or whoever it was, completely understand, and thank you for doing it. It still means a lot to us, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Dude, that's crazy.
But there's nights I just don't do it. I can't. Yeah, when I say on Kelly's show, I almost passed out. Dude, I mean, my knees were shaking. While I was singing, I was going, God, do not let me pass out. This would be too embarrassing.
Like the time Patrick passed out?
Yeah, we don't even talk about that anymore.
That wasn't passed out. Patrick was knocked out.
I had to change the subject. I was getting too emotional.
It's getting too emotional.
All right, Craig Morgan. Craig Morgan's with us. We're going to take a break. Come back. More
and
on the way.
Definitely get that song, The Father, My Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Craig Morgan in the studio with us. Craig is one of our favorites. We've gone through a lot with Craig. When Craig first came out, not out of the closet when he first came out.
As a musician.
We had him in, and we've just become friends over the years, and we've seen
When we launched our studio, he was the first guest
you were
we
the first,
had.
Yeah.
He was the first person we invited.
Shot an arrow
down the hallway into that wall. Yeah. Sure did. Nothing ever will beat making him pass out. That's just,
you know, there are a lot of people who don't know the story.
No, and it's one of those things. I know Craig hates this story because it's like, oh my gosh, let's don't talk about it. But
it wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, your management freaked out when it went down. So Craig, Army Ranger in his past, you know, he has some skills. He has certain things that he has acquired, some knowledge that he, you know, keeps in his pocket. And Big D goes, Craig, do you think you could knock Patrick out right now? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, no, really, could you do it right now? And he's like, really? So Craig's like,
I'll do it because at this point.
This
is before UFC, and like, you're talking about, well, you just put somebody in the sleeper hold. And I'm like, that's not real. Like that Brutus the Barber Beefcake did that.
I know. Yeah, that's wrestling. Pro wrestling.
That's not a
nonsense.
Real thing. And so I was like, okay, you know, whatever. Go ahead. Yeah, no. Next thing I know, I woke up to Craig slapping me on the face, going, "Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy."
Patrick dropped like a rock. I mean, like a big sack of potatoes. Just, I mean, you tried to keep him from falling. I mean, I could see the concern.
My intentions were not to choke him out. It was to show him how it worked. But it happened. He went out really
quick. How many
seconds
do you think it was?
I don't know that there were seconds.
I was going to say it was quick.
It was the quickest I've ever seen it.
It's horrible. I'm not even going to pull it up so Bubba can play
and
it.
I remember Patrick, the funniest thing, though, when Craig's over him kind of nudging him going, hey, buddy, wake up, buddy. Hey, buddy. So Patrick, at this point in his dream, apparently was fighting something off.
Yeah, you
and
remember
it
that?
Looked like an upside-down puppy paddling in the air. One of the highlights of my life is that I would never get that vision out.
Mine was that you snored.
Yeah.
Like you started snoring immediately.
Which is the part that made me nervous, because yelling, they wake up fairly quick, and
no,
he
man,
snored.
You know, I'm an insomniac, and I don't sleep a lot, so that was a good little nap for me.
Straight into REM.
I know that when we're old men sitting around on a porch somewhere playing checkers, that I'm going to still hear that story.
Yep.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's the best. It really is.
One of my favorites.
Have you ever told that to somebody and they're like, you did not?
Oh, yes. I'm friends with a bunch of UFC fighters, and they're like, dude, what were you thinking?
Because you could, taking somebody and putting them out like that, they're could be
like 2% or whatever, don't make it.
I don't do it anymore.
Craig learned an important lesson today.
Just know he knows how.
Craig, why are you here? Can you take his appendix out?
Give me just a minute.
Let me go get my medical kit.
We have a tub full of ice.
For the record, in Alaska, I have everything I need to perform everything. If you have a heart attack, I have a battery-operated
defibrillator
now.
Really?
Wow. Yes. So I have everything. I can stitch you up. I can, you know, if you have a tooth, I can take care of everything.
What? Do you have like needles and syringes?
Look, man, it takes, at the minimum, on a very good day, with great communications, an aircraft standing by in the nearest town, I will not disclose at this moment, it's 45 minutes. That's the closest.
Yeah.
So, but probably more like minimum 2 hours.
Yeah, wow.
On a good day. Bad weather, I'm carrying you out.
You're carrying him out.
You put him on a sled.
We'll put him in the Argo and drag him out. Yeah.
like he's an elk.
Quarter him up.
That's why I have all that stuff there, just in case, you know, friends or family, anybody that's there, if we're there and they have an accident.
Which happens.
Listen, so I drove the drill. When we were building the outhouse, my guitar player and my tour manager were with me, Jerry and Mike. And I was up on top, and I was drilling the tin and screwing, and the drill popped off the screw and went through my thumb. And I have this rare thing. I don't know what it's called. I'm not going to pretend to know. But anyway, my body, my electrical system, when I do something to my body, it automatically shuts my system down and reboots. It's basically, I don't know what it's called. Never had it experience
before. You're like a fainting goat?
Yeah, kind of like a fainting goat. But I come to it and everything's fine. So I was up on the ladder on top of the outhouse. Drill went through my thumb. And it was a drill bit, a screwdriver bit, not a drill bit, which makes it even worse because it just kind of hammered it through.
Right.
So I get down and I sit on the inside. I'm inside the outhouse and there's no walls, and I'm bleeding. And I told Mike, go get me some rags. And he run. He's freaking smooth out because he don't know what to do. No communications, nothing. This was early on. I looked at Jerry, my tour manager, and I said, listen very carefully. I may pass out. If I do, do not let Mike go call 911 and get a helicopter in here to get me out of here. I will wake up and I will be fine. And Mike comes back. Hey, we're going to have to call 911, man. We're going to have to call 911.
Bring in the copters.
And I literally prayed to God, do not, please God, don't let me pass out. I can't afford this helicopter.
Did you reboot?
I didn't have to. I managed to be fine.
It was a soft reboot.
Yeah,
it was a soft.
Dude, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see y'all, man.
Tell Karen we said hey and the boys.
I will, buddy.
The song "The Father, My Son, and the Holy Ghost" is available now. You can get it wherever you get your music.
I can need to get it.
Yeah, you absolutely. And you know what? And the song may be for someone else that you know, and they need to hear it. Get it for them.
That's the reason I do it. I gotta say. And plus, if everybody stay tuned, you can join Big D and Bubba and me in Alaska coming up.
Dude, that needs to happen.
I don't know, man.
Hey, I volunteer to stay here and you know, you guys can run. I'll run the show.
Don't you have the ability to do field production?
We would have to have sat phones and everything to make that happen. But, you know, nothing is impossible.
If you have service, you can't do it with service?
Well, it depends on how good your service is. I mean, how rural you are.
It's really good if you're over by the little cabin. We stand by the guest
cabin.
So
it's like your dad, a coat hanger.
Like your dad, yes, exactly. You're doing rabbit ears on the TV.
On one leg.
He's gonna lie and make something up. We're gonna be wrapped in tinfoil. Our arms up in the air. Like
Patrick,
spies like us.
Can you hear us?
All right, Craig Morgan, everyone. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, buddy.